阿里当中，你的医学的当中，咱第一个就是，对呢，他的吉拉玛瓦当，都这个吉拉玛瓦节，都是这个乌玛让举办起，对呢，乌玛天举办什么的个，反正我是什么我什么的啦，王彪我什么的，伊军我什么，但让人我那军我什么这些，那都让人我是开领个马来去，但对呢，sem zamba do de ba da ne sem zamba che de ne ne ju ju bu ma ra ju ba se de ki ne ngo sum ngo pe ngo su yi ji ngo sum de ne ra ju ngo sum ne ju ngo sum che ngo sum le shi ke ling go re je ha du chi ne de ji ngo de ti ko che ba ro shi ma san de ne re sen shi ro.
Good afternoon. This morning we started to look at this presentation on tenets, or presentation on the differing understandings according to different Buddhist schools. So we looked at the beginning here, seeing that three of the schools and their subdivisions, the Vaibhashika, Sautrantika, Svatrantika, Madhyamikas, and the Prasangika Madhyamikas, they do not accept self-knowing direct valid cognizers, and therefore just assert the three sense, mental, and yogic direct perceivers. Whereas Sautrantika, Chittamachins, and Yogacharya Sautrantika Madhyamikas, they do assert self-knowing direct valid cognizers, and therefore they have four, or they assert four direct perceivers, sense, mental, self-knowing, and yogic.
Dodi Bada, Jera Mawa, the Sigi, Negarsene, Suk Tobi, Onsum, the Ombi Onsum de Ye, and the Sosuki, which you disu Onsum de Ye, and then Trishe Mares, or Nije Matuishe Bares, and also Matuishe and Gogres, conjugate Sigurwa. Then the Semzan Begi, Onsum the Matuishe by Inku Mare, Carsene, Sosuki, which you give, and Sudan, which you use the woman de Ye, Trishe, Carsene Delia, Suk Chiru de Nutuba Nengore, Nawa Nashi. And so children to Majubare, just as children to Jubade, your mare, just as the Nawanza, Trisheres and Honzu, Dusine, that Sem Zambada, Umaran Yuba de Yigi, and then Casore, that two don't use the one to get Trishi in Bikim Sentishi or what children to Juban and Gore, just as Nawana, she your mare is.
Thank you, Madame.
Sem Zamba.
Thereafter, we also looked at a difference between the philosophical schools in terms of sense-direct perception, whereas the two lower schools, Vaibhashika and Sautrantika, they assert that sense-direct perceivers are necessarily unmistaken. The Chittamatran and Svatrantika schools, they hold that direct perceivers are not necessarily unmistaken. They may be mistaken or unmistaken. And the difference comes down to sense direct perceivers, whether the object that they perceive exists in the way that it appears or not. And the Vaibhashika and Sautrantika assert that the object that appears to a sense direct perceiver exists in the way that it appears. Whereas for the Chittamatran and Svatrantikas, they say that the objects of the sense-direct perceptions, they do not exist in the way they appear. And this is because Chittamatran and Svatrantika do not accept that external objects are established, or that they are externally established objects.
Kasa dode bhegi sigura, dode bhe ngonsum la matru bhegi shebe chawa keelingi re esi da dode bhegi ngonsum la matru bhegi shebe yin kuhu re esi. Da yin kuhu bhegi mzende de karsa tsudonga yu suze wongon de matru bhegi shebe re yin bhegi mzende karsa da deji sem zembe karsa chiru dundu chuba nangore de za chushe re larwa. Da dode bha dan jera mao khanda jiba re su chiru dundu chuba nawa nashin. Now I should do Suchir Dundruba, Kailin Bichir. Chisanko, Suchir Dundruba, now a Nashi, Suchir Dundruba, Chisan, now a Nashi, what you did, it's a true amaris. The Shogetic, the Shesar Andus, and the Sigurda.
And this is then presented in the text in the next section. So just below halfway on page 25. The Sartantikas assert that whatever is a direct perceiva is necessarily an unmistaken consciousness. So here we see, as I just said in the previous segment, and we looked at this morning, that for Sartantika, but you can also include Vaibhashika here, that direct perceptions are necessarily unmistaken. And the reason is, for they assert that a sense direct perceiver in the continuum of an ordinary person apprehending a form is an unmistaken consciousness. And we heard earlier that the Chittamata and Svatantikas do not agree with this reason, and therefore they don't make the same assertion. So only the Vaibhashikas and Svatantikas who holds that the external objects exist in the way that they appear to their sense direct perceivers, and therefore the sense direct perceiver, that consciousness, is unmistaken. So here then we see that Vaibhashika and Sartantika, they accept externally existent objects, and they accept self-knowers, or certainly at least the Sartantikas do. And moreover, where they accept external objects, they accept them to be truly existent, and for Sartantika accepting self-knowers, that they are truly existent as well. And this accords with the definition of a view holder of the Hinayana, of the Theravadan tenets. So we don't have this in our text, but I'll read it. This is because the definition of a Sartantika is a person propounding Theravadan tenets who asserts both external objects and self-knowers to be truly established. So I'll read it again. The definition of a Sartantika is a person establishing Theravadan tenets who asserts both external objects and self-knowers to be truly established.
I didn't chidin kimbilation, chidin media, rari, dendro de kilimbe, teaching you to number your cansa, say, Semsan Betsin, it is. Just under chidin kimbilimba, rari, demba tuba, say, kilimbe, that teaching you to number your cansa de la, Nesemsan Betsin, it is Semsan Baris, Tinisha.
And in our translation, we don't have the next line either. This is that the definition of a Chittamatran is a person propounding Mahayana tenets who does not assert external objects, but does assert self-knowers as truly established. So to our five sense direct perceivers, so those of the eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, and touch, object those sense direct perceivers, according to Vaibhashika and Sautrantika Tika, are unmistaken. So those consciousnesses are unmistaken because the way the objects appear to the consciousness is how they exist. And as we heard Chittamata and Svatantika, they say that is incorrect. The way objects appear to sense direct perceivers is not how they exist, because phenomena appear as if they are externally existent, but they do not exist in this way. So therefore, according to this Chittamata and Svatantika, these sense direct perceivers are mistaken. Prasangika also say that sense direct perceivers are mistaken, like Chittamata and Svatantika, but they assert a different reason why sense direct perceivers are mistaken.
Ina chiru dundruba nawa yimbi gimtsenji nawa gimtsen chui sheba mare chiru dundruba nawa na jin chiru dundruba yores je tenju be yores chiru dundruba kelingo roba chira chiru dundruba yores chira chiru dundruba nawa gimtsen chuwa mare sko nawa na jin yores ane garel chuba re lamna ben suk na yo du suk deba chuba nang gores suk deba chuba nang gores chira suk deba chuba nawa na jin suk di deba ma chuba roba Chetan suk tenpa chupa nangwa nangashin, suk tenpa chupa maare, mayinza, suk tenpa chupa nangwe chala chuwa rees. Ondi sikwar da. Thank you, Biki. Gyula sena, ten anadu deji ne karasana, ne kasa tsutungu ki wangpi wangosumde ki sikwarwa. Chetan di wangpi wangosumde ki, suk chiru dundu chupa nangwa nangashin, suk chiru dundu chupa re, di chala chuwa maarees. अने कार्य रहे लमना छुआ जे कार्य लमना सुख ना है तो सुख देवर चुप नंगो वाले चिता सुख देवर चुप ना हो ना आशी देवर मजुबा रहे चिता देन ना हो चले सुख देवर चुप ना हो चले छुआ रहे ऐसे और किम्चंदी तन ना छुए किम्चंदी सुख देवर चुप नंगो वाले चिता सुख देवर चुप ना हो ना आशी सुख देवर मजुबा रहे देन जान वांशी तो छुआ रहे ऐसे और
quite subtler. But here one should listen well, because they are parts of the view of the two lower schools that they agree with, parts of the two higher schools that they agree with, but they still have their own unique view. So like the two lower schools, they say that there are external objects, but and then like the two higher schools, they say, nevertheless, whilst there are external objects, the way they appear to the sense direct perception of an ordinary being is not how it exists. And this is because, firstly, the Prasangika do accept that there are external phenomena, external objects. So they're just on that, they agree with the lower schools. But agreeing again then now with the higher schools, the way they appear to consciousness is not how they exist. But here they pose a different reason for the consciousness, for the way that the object appears to the consciousness in a way that it doesn't exist. Here the Prasangika uniquely say that phenomena appear to consciousness, in this case, the sense direct perception of an ordinary being, as being truly existent. And whereas no phenomenon exists truly. So this is the unique presentation of Prasangika here, that whilst there are external objects, they appear to sense direct perceivers in a way that they do not exist, because they appear to exist truly or inherently when they do not exist in this way.
Dessem da Rangibe, Debi, Chiru, Seda, that was mina, topa my ingulis or that dirty about. Monsum la daughter, the chapa so, Dessem niga dang, Rangibe, Deva, Indi, Sidua, Chesan Carso was in a dirty bada, and a Ranguba da, and a semzamba de Sugi, Carla was in a Monsum said la topa my ingulis, topa the jaw. Monsumla, daughter, ye cabaso, daughter, my in being mangoes, topa my ingoes, cabaso, do sims, do de bachi, sims and bachi, niga. Dene, umarang yuba, on this way killing it, yes, or that 제라 마와다 땡큐 발레 비오마 도데 바다 샘잠 바다 근데 라주 바디 얘기 당원숨라 또고 많이 고 그래서
And then the last point on page 25, Svatantikas and Chittamatrans, as well as Svatantikas, assert that direct perceivers are necessarily non-conceptual, but Prasangikas do not. So remember, we could divide consciousness. In another way to divide consciousness would be into conceptual and non-conceptual. So these three Buddhist tenets assert that direct perceivers are necessarily non-conceptual.
The text continues, now presenting the reason why Prasangika stand out.
Sorry. Now the text continues, presenting the reason why Prasangika have their own understanding here. This is because there are many differences in the Prasangika's mode of assertion. They assert incontrovertible knower to be the definition of a valid cognizer. So that's a slightly different definition from what we covered earlier. Secondly, that subsequent cognizers are necessarily valid cognizers. And then that among direct valid cognizers, there are both conceptual and non-conceptual consciousnesses. So here we see that in the third point, there is a difference that they're saying direct valid cognizers can be both conceptual and non-conceptual. Similarly, with subsequent cognizers, subsequent cognizers too can be conceptual and non-conceptual. So this is the reasons that Prasangika have for having a different view from Svatantika Chittamatra and Svatantika here.
Tata nga su dee 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 bhi kala nga su 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 nangla ya jala dine dine yore dine dine yore zibi tenbi tenshi kya shorwa dine ki tenbi tenshi di ki tokpa re su re tokpa re di ina an jesu ki yu du wo re su jisang cema re su ta jisang milu wa re jisang cema re su jisang ko chi shi re di ina cema re su tenju bhi ki cema re lakor di cema inza di ngosu mi cema re su jisang ko ngosu mi cema re lakor gyumze gara su ne
那你那天天女，然后把门前给搞了啥子？搞准备展现的，有多过的，一年呀，这些的，才嘛嘛的，才嘛那有当铺多不起过来，搞当铺多不嘛的，那你搞成当铺米给些，比如说通在地七十万多久嘞？现在搞这些的嘛多，才嘛嘛的，现在他都过来，现在我是才嘛的，多过来，我是不的，现在我是那都不晓得有嘞，才过来。那你那天天女，然后把门前给搞了啥子？搞准备展现的，有多过的，一年呀，这些的，才嘛嘛的，才嘛那有当铺多不起过来，搞当铺多不嘛的，那你搞成当铺米给些，比如说通在地七十万多久嘞？现在搞这些的嘛多，才嘛嘛的，现在他都搞多过来，现在多过来，现在我是嘛的，才嘛的说。
对，人家是多巴的多酶基西格罗，的多巴的，就是那点我是买的时候，他多巴的多酶基西格罗，的底下就是三酶基的哇。对，人家是多巴的，多酶基西格罗，的底下就是三酶基的哇。对，人家是多巴的多酶基西格罗，的底下就是三酶基的哇。对，人家是多巴的多酶基西格罗，的底下就是三酶基的哇。对，人家是多巴的多酶基西格罗，的底下就是三酶基的哇。对，人家是多巴的多酶基西格罗，的底下就是三酶基的哇。对，人家是多巴的多酶基西格罗，的底下就是三酶基的哇。对，人家是多巴的多酶基西格罗，的底下就是三酶基的哇。对，人家是多巴的多酶基西格罗，的底下就是三酶基的哇。对，人家是多巴的多酶基西格罗，的底下就是三酶基的哇。对，人家是多巴的多酶基西格罗，的底下就是三酶基的哇。对，人家是多 Monsu mare, tokwares. Tema mare, saba mares. Tema mare, toko saba mares. Did you conjugate semitic, sell the milieu, you pass in jar, what is Nima?
if we're sitting here, we recall a beautiful flower we've seen, or maybe the possessions we have at home. Recalling these objects that we've perceived, we'll be recalling them through a memory consciousness, and that memory consciousness is a subsequent cognizer. So there is agreement between, to this point, there's agreement between the varying Buddhist philosophical schools. But Prasangika will say that this subsequent cognizer, this memory conscious recalling something that we have seen, it is a valid cognizer. And then amongst the two different types of valid cognizer, which is it? The subsequent cognizer is a direct valid cognizer. Why? Well, of the two, direct valid cognizer and inferential valid cognizer, it is not an inferential valid cognizer. It hasn't come about in dependence on reasoning. But it is therefore, it is a direct valid cognizer. So here you have an illustration for Prasangika of a conceptual consciousness that is a direct valid cognizer. For Svatantika and below, they will agree that this memory consciousness is a subsequent cognizer, but they will say it is not a direct perception because it is conceptual, and that's this point of difference. And they will also say it's not a valid cognizer because it's not new. Because, as we see here at the first bullet point, Prasangika have as a definition of a valid cognizer, incontrovertible knower. Whereas the non-Prasangika have an additional word, a new incontrovertible knower. So Prasangika don't say that a valid cognizer needs to be new. Whereas the other schools say it does need to be new. And therefore, a memory consciousness, a subsequent cognizer, is not new. Rather, and therefore, it is not a valid cognizer. Moreover, the Svatantika and below say that a memory consciousness being conceptual cannot be a direct perception. This then is a quotation is presented here to establish the validity of what has been stated previously. So at the top of page 26, according to Kedupje's Ocean of Reasoning, we see that here in Prasangika, the definition of a valid cognizer is that which is incontrovertible, which is asserted in accordance with how it is posited in the world. In the world, without distinguishing new incontrovertibility, that which is incontrovertible in general is posited as a valid cognizer. And thus it is clear that even subsequent cognizers that are induced by non-conceptual direct valid cognizers are asserted as valid cognizers. Because of this, they are direct valid cognizers even amongst conceptual valid cognizers. So what that's saying is what we've just looked at in the previous segment. So if one recalls a form that one has seen, such as a flower or a sound that one has heard, that recalling is done by a memory consciousness, which is a subsequent cognizer, and a conceptual consciousness, and according to Prasangika, is a valid cognizer for the reason presented here.
Adelia, then wonsum shi gorim kya jedar kwedie said that wonsum shi lia wonsum shi dambo ngaz wonbe wonsum yi wonsum raje wonsum na jong wonsum chine dambo na wonbe wonsum shi deni yi wonsum shi deni raje wonsum deni na jong wonsum shi bares Jizan di gorim di ganeshe lana chidun rikin li sudu da tsemarikin bine tate jiva kinyun rubi ki se shaba chin se tsemarik din hala yukar son shasine monsum shi shibo di gorim di dara she de de yue de na ju monsum la pabu pabu kone gula yue be judu di yin se na je na ju monsum se de pabu gula ma do yo ma res pabu kone ma do susu gibi gula yo ma res inza ko tamari ma son ba le je le Jen Sumbo, Soso Giwada, Papa Nigi Gula, Yubia, Dambor, Sidizam, Wambion was on the Yijun, Najun was on Sumdi Nielashe, Dijela, and Najun was on Sherwa, Jizan, Wambion was on Yijun was on Rajun was on body, Soso Gibula Yura, Papa Gula Yura, Jizan Nigi Gula Yuba as a Dambor, the Shea, Dine, and then Najun was on the Papa Kuni Gula Madmea, and Jelisha, but as it, the Shea could be.
Now there's a further quotation. The order of the four direct perceivers must be just as it is. So the four direct perceivers, we looked at a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago when we started, but we have them now on the preceding page in the middle. The four direct perceivers are sense direct perceivers, mental direct perceivers, self-knowing direct perceivers and yogic direct perceivers. So the order of the four, so that order, the four direct perceivers, must be just as it is. And then the quote is, in what way is the order of the four direct perceivers definite? Since yogic direct perceivers exist only in the continuums of aryas, they are indicated last. Since the other three direct perceivers exist in the continuums of both ordinary beings and aryas, they are indicated first.
It's
presented in this specific order because all Arya beings were first ordinary beings. All ordinary beings, through training their mind, can become Arya beings. So we all start out as ordinary beings with the three sense direct perceivers, mental direct perceivers, and self-knowing direct perceivers. And these, through our training, we then eventually, when one becomes an Arya being, will attain the fourth direct perceiver, the yogic direct perceiver. So that is the reason why they are presented first the three for ordinary beings, and then finally the fourth one, which only exists in the continuum of Arya beings.
Adi nane jansiri, di nane jan, shen ni, nyamsun yonja yinbe, tambo ten, sidu, wambu ngosun, yi yin ngosun yidi, tambo ten bare, tambo she bare, karasinuko, nyamsun yonja yuru chagores. Rarik se di, di ni, nyamsun yu yujin chagores. Tene za, yu da yujin chagores. Jada, wambu ngosun, yi yin ngosun yidi, yu che, rarik yu, nyamsun yonja yu chagores, yu tambo she, and di chele, rarik ngosun she bare, echele.
And the text continues further presenting why these four direct perceivers are in this order. Moreover, within those first three, the two other knowers are indicated first. So other knowers then are the sense direct perceivers, the mental direct perceivers. And they are other knowers because they know consciousness other than themselves. They know objects other than themselves. The two other knowers are indicated first because they are objects of experience. Since self-knowers experience both of those, they are indicated last. And then self-knowers come last because they are what experiences sense and mental direct perceivers.
Adi nane ya wong gyu yinpe dangpo dang, ane yingwen dribu yinpe di jidu tenpa yinpe shirasida. Da di nane nga zi dangpo shidi wangpo ngosum yinle shigirwa, di jili yi ngosum dinde, raji ngosum dinde, raji ngosum shigirwa. Chisa wangpo ngosum de dangpo tenpa di, wangpo ngosum de dangpo ten di gyu res, wangpo ngosum na tenne yi ngosum kigore, yi ngosum de dribu res, inza gyu di nye lujub dinde dribu jil jugorwa, dinde inza wangpo ngosum de dangpo tenpa re, di jili yi ngosum tenpa res gore. The Nane Jatsi won't be also the Yongs in Nane Ya, Wong Wong Yu Yimbe, Dambo Tin. Yin Wen Jibu Yimbe, the Jude Tempich, Wong Wong Yu Jude Tempares, you said this year.
No further reason then is presented. Between the first two, sense direct perceivers are indicated first because they are causes of mental direct perceivers. And mental direct perceivers are indicated last because they are effects. So just like one generally looks at things or talks, one will talk about cause and then effect. So for that reason, between the two, sense and mental, they are presented in this specific order, with the causal being first and the resultant being latter. Summarize then what's presented here is that when we perceive an object of the sense consciousnesses, what first the form arises to a sense direct perception, whether it's the eye sense direct perception or the ear or the taste sense direct perceptions, the object appears to it, immediately followed by mental direct perception and then the self-knowing direct perceivers. So this is a specific order, and these are the three direct perceivers that ordinary beings utilize. And eventually, as an ordinary being trains their mind, they come to attain the path of seeing. It's at that moment that they attain a yogic direct perception. When they give rise to a yogic direct perceiver, the path of seeing is attained, the fourth one. So this is the reason for the order of these four direct perceivers. It's nothing more profound than this. It's just a very simple reason why these are stated or presented in this specific sequence. When one debates, then one quickly sees that this presentation is, the sequence is quite rough, because if you think about it a little bit, this is not really exactly how it happens. First, there's the arisal of a sense direct perception, but immediately that is followed with a self-knower, and only thereafter comes a mental direct perceiver. So therefore, this order that is presented in we should understand is, through a rough way of thinking, if one doesn't think about it too much, this order is fine. But if one were to think about it a bit more, actually, immediately following a sense direct perceiver is itself knower. And if you really want to, you can pull out further faults in this reasoning given for the fourfold sequence. So when we are conceived and the sperm fertilizes the egg and consciousness enters, for a period, between sense and mental consciousnesses, it's only a mental consciousness that will be manifest for the unborn baby. It's only a while later that sense consciousnesses are developed. So therefore, we'd say actually first comes mental consciousnesses. And with the mental consciousness will come its self-knower. And only thereafter will come sense consciousnesses. So therefore, that if one were to look from this perspective at a deeper level, again, one could point fault to this sequence. The reason, though, for presenting it in this particular order, as opposed to any of the others, is when one comes to study this and hear about this for the first time, this is the order in which we utilize these sense direct perceivers. So now, when we ourselves look at our own experience, we'll see a form appears as a sense direct perceiver, and this will be followed, we can say, by its a mental direct perceiver, and there two self-knowers. The order really is about that has been presented here is primarily to aid understanding. Hence, many of the illustrations that are given tend to relate to sense consciousnesses, because this is what is most apparent to us, most obvious to us. Hence, you would have heard often the illustration of seeing a flower. This is easy to understand. A flower, we see it, which means it appears to our sense consciousness. And later, we can recall what we have seen, and that recollection is not a sense consciousness, but a mental consciousness. And we can recall what we have seen via this mental consciousness, because the sense consciousness had a self-knower. And this independence on the self-knower, that one can have recollection. So therefore, we see the order of sense-direct perceiver, followed by mental-direct perceiver, and a self-knowing direct perceiver. And lastly, as presented in the text, comes the yogic direct perceiver fourth, because eventually through training and one's understanding of reality, one will come to cultivate the wisdom directly realizing selflessness. At that point, one develops a yogic direct perception realizing selflessness and attains the path of seeing.
Shukwe Shepa Nanya Zanyun Chu Da Nyi Nishu Siya De Nga Zuki Kowa Nungon Yuan Yu Gyuzo Di Da Zanyun Chuk Di Nanya Kya Da Zawa Da Se Marikpa Di Zin Marikpa Siya Di Marikpa Siya Di Nga Zuki Da Nyomoba Zayu Gyu Di Nyomoba Zayu Marikpa Di Re Siya Si Sa Da Nga Zuki Marikpa Pangpa Yina Ani Dela Di Ne Dwe Sha Kya Yo Ma Kong Chu Kya Yo Ma Di Ne Zanyun Chuk Shana Di Kya Ya Mya Ba Re Di Kya Ya Me Du Ani Nyi Nishu Siya Nyomoba Di Kya Ya Mya Ba Re 디마게도 안데 레사메 안 레가 바사메 바레 지다 메 레사메 레게 원고 코와 끼와레 마 차다 두스 다에디 두스네 안아주게 코와레 끼와 까야디 가리까고 거슨 또 당아주게 다세 마리 바세야디 방고 그레세 워다 디 방바이나 안 코와레 쳇투 그레세야지 디 방바이나 안 타바세 톱투 그레세야다 두스네 안아주게다
As mentioned last night, what causes us suffering is the presence of the afflictions, both in the grouping of the six root afflictions and the 20 secondary afflictions. And as we looked at last night, these six root afflictions, they can be condensed down into what's often called the three poisons of ignorance, attachment, and anger. Because it's from these three poisons that the other three of the root afflictions come. But even the three poisons can be condensed down to one root, and that is ignorance. Ignorance is really the root of all our afflictions, and therefore the root of all our suffering. And amongst the many types of ignorance, in particular what is being, the particular ignorance that is referred to in terms of whether it's a division of the root afflictions or the three poisons, it is the ignorance of self-grasping. This being the root cause of all our suffering, if it is abandoned, nothing will come from it. And what is it that comes from it? The other two of the three poisons, namely attachment and anger, or to express it differently, the other five root afflictions, they won't arise either. And them not arising means the secondary afflictions, the 20 secondary afflictions, they won't arise. And having no afflictions arising, no contaminated karma will be accumulated. No uncontrolled rebirth within samsara will again be taken. One will be liberated from the sufferings of samsara, because the root of our suffering, ignorance, will have been completely severed. And this is the attainment of liberation, liberation from suffering from the afflictions, or freedom from suffering is achieved. So therefore, when we ask ourselves what is our main objective, we can say in general, to abandon the afflictions, to not come under their influence, to try and prevent their arisal, and to go at a deeper level, amongst our afflictions, it's really ignorance that we need to strive to eliminate, the ignorance of self-grasping.
Ah, digombala tene ane kasore das ga narashin tuba tibe zimba pango re espan tu gure ese ta nyembo zo de dan ando kori ke zawa je ki nyembo zo de ta dire ese word nga rashin ma tuba to lo de ton yu to lo se ta uma ranje bi ge ta rashin ma tuba la bio ma re nga temba ma tuba se che gore thank you bulula temba ma tuba ta rashin ma tuba rangi chingi ma tuba dan ta ji gore dan uma ranje bi ge ta rashin ma tuba se ke ling yo ma re ko rashin tuba re le gore ta konje ga la gore se ne nga temba ma tuba to bi lo di gomba la tene ti pango re se ade ta nyembo ti mari be tsawi mari ba ti nyembo ti la ane du chen thank you ba ta uma ranje bi di tene sha gore ba
Recognizing then the role that ignorance plays in our suffering, one comes to see that the need to abandon it, and how to do so is to cultivate the antidote to ignorance, the contrary mind to ignorance, and that is a mind of wisdom. And whilst there are, in the same way that there are many types of ignorance, so too are there many types of wisdom. So the particular wisdom that needs to be cultivated, that is the ignorance, that is the antidote to the ignorance of self-grasping, is the wisdom realizing emptiness. And what is meant by the wisdom realizing emptiness, there's a slight difference for the Prasangika and the Svatantika. The Prasangika will say that the self appears as if it is inherently existent, and then it is grasped as being inherently existent when it doesn't exist in this way. And that is an ignorance that grasps at the self as existing inherently when it doesn't exist in this way. Svatantika will use the term true existence. So they will say, the Svatantika Madhyamikas will say that the self appears to be truly existent, then ignorance grasps at the self as being truly existent. And that is the ignorance of true grasping. Whereas Prasangika use the term inherent existence, and therefore there's the ignorance grasping at inherent existence. Moreover, though, Prasangika will say to the Svatantika, you are mistaken, because actually there is no difference between true existence and inherently existent. So when we say, we need to abandon the ignorance of grasping at the self as being inherently existent, or if we were to phrase it as, abandon the ignorance of grasping at the self as being truly existent, there is no difference. Because for us, Prasangikas, true existence and inherent existence are synonymous. Svatantika say that there is a difference between the two. And they say, Svatantika, that what needs to be abandoned is the ignorance grasping at the self as being truly existent.
Temba chupa yore le gorwa, rangshin chupa yore, temba chupa yore ke limba za, ta sem zembe temba ma chupa tongi tupi lo se shi le go mara. Ta gara su gorsi ne, chiru dundu ma chupa tupi lo sir, chiru dundu chupa. Chiru dundu ma chupa tupi, chiru dundu ma chupa tongba nyi, ta tongba nyi res. Chizan chiru dundu ma chupa tupi lo di, gomba le tene, ane gomba tupi lo di ta, maripa di, nyambo di di res gorwa. Temba dhupa ke lingyu yorwa, chisa sem zembe ki temba dhupa yore le gorwa, chisa temba ma dhupa tobe lo sene ke lingyu labgyu omar, chisa rangshin dhupa yore le gore, temba dhupa yore le gore, chisa rangshin ma dhupa da, temba ma dhupa se di lo di sema ke lingyu omarwa, chisa rangshin dhupa re, temba dhupa re le gorwa, tenza khonju ge da dawa tardu tobe lo di karacha wasene shiru dundu ma dhupa tobe lo se che gore.
The Buddhist philosophical school, the Chittimatrans, they present something quite different, because they do accept true existence and inherent existence. The two Madhyamika schools of Prasangika and Svatantika, they say, in terms of Prasangika, both inherent existence and true existence are synonymous and must both be abandoned. Svatantika says, and the ignorance that grasps the true existence, it is that needs to be abandoned. Chittimatra say, no, things do exist truly, things do exist inherently. what they then posit as needing to be abandoned in order to attain liberation is one needs to develop the wisdom realizing that phenomena do not exist externally. That is what needs to be cultivated. It's a wisdom realizing that phenomena do not exist externally that needs to be cultivated in order to achieve liberation. Then the two lower schools of Abhashek and Sarchantika, they too accept true and inherent existence, and they posit though as what one needs to abandon in order to attain liberation is the ignorance grasping at the self as being self-sufficient, substantially existent. That is what needs to be abandoned in order to overcome, to gain freedom from samsara. One needs to abandon the ignorance grasping at the self as being self-sufficient, substantially existent. So this is quite an important debate to have, quite important to think about this, the different positions of the schools, because what comes down to how one can achieve liberation. So those who hold Prasangika are generally considered to hold the highest view. So therefore, according to those who hold the view of the Prasangika, those who Buddhists who accept the philosophical views of the other tenets, Vaibhashika, Sarchantika, Chittamatra, and Svachantika, they cannot achieve liberation from samsara. They cannot bring suffering to an end because there is a mistake in their view, because their wisdom will not be able to abandon the ignorance of self-grasping. It's only the wisdom that is developed through training in the Prasangika view that one can achieve liberation from cyclic existence. So therefore, according to Prasangika, all Buddhists who hold a different tenet will not be able to bring an end to suffering. Whilst that is the case, generally accepted case, still though, it is important that when one has the opportunity to study and come to understand the tenets of the lower schools, of the non-Prasangika schools, even though relying solely on their tenets will not enable one to eliminate ignorance. And the reason for that is these were taught in a sequence of development, a sequence of a development of subtler view. So as one comes to understand the coarser views of Vaibhashika and Sarchantika, that independence on that understanding, one can come to a subtler understanding of the Chittamatran view. And when one has a good understanding of the Chittamatran view, that aids one to come to understand the Svachantika view better. And in dependence on understanding the Svachantika view well, one can come to a subtler understanding of the Prasangika view. And therefore, it's good to study all the tenets, even though it's only the application of the view of the Prasangika that will lead to liberation. One should approach this or understand this as being like a ladder. In order to climb a ladder, one needs to start at the lower rungs. If one doesn't make use of the lower rungs, one will not be able to climb up the ladder. So for ourselves, if we want to get on a roof, we need to climb up the ladder and we need to use the lower rungs in order to get to the higher rungs and eventually onto the roof. So this is the case for ourselves. We have these limitations. But this isn't the case for all beings. For example, a bird will not use the ladder at all, but it will quickly and easily get onto the roof. So similarly, for the majority of practitioners, one needs to study the lower tenets very well in order to gain a subtler understanding of the more subtle views. But for those who come into this life with powerful imprints and a sharpness of intelligence, when they study the lower tenets, they'll quickly gain a deep understanding of them and will rapidly progress through the varying schools. They won't need to spend much time studying the lower tenets' views because they'll quickly grasp them and thereby be able to move up very quickly, as if they weren't relying on the rungs of a ladder, but were flying up to the roof. So this really brings us to the conclusion of awareness and knowers. There's the one final section, but we really of expressive sounds, but we really don't need to spend time with that. So here we have now come to the conclusion of awareness and knowers. Across this text of Lodek, we've seen that there are many different ways to divide consciousness. One twofold division is into sense and mental consciousnesses. Another twofold division is into main minds and mental factors. So this is all important to aid us to come to understand ourselves better, understand our own, the workings of our own minds better. And why this is so important is we need to understand what leads to happiness and thereby cultivate the causes that lead to happiness, and what leads to suffering, and thereby abandon what leads to suffering. As we heard then recently in the presentation on the mental factors, we need to cultivate the 11 virtuous mental factors and abandon the 6 and 20 afflicted minds. The way for doing so, this isn't presented here in this text, but it's presented in the Lamrim teachings, the graduated stages to enlightenment. That is where the method or the technique for strengthening our virtuous minds as well as abandoning our afflicted minds is presented. The presentation that one finds in the Lamrim is similar to what I presented this morning. Here one starts by making supplications to one's teacher so as to generate enthusiasm and knowing that we are supported now in our meditation. And then to reflect on the actual nature of cyclic existence, that samsara itself is in the very nature of suffering. One does so by first reflecting on the sufferings in the lower realms, such as what one can observe amongst animals, as well as in the unseen realms. And thereafter, looking at the suffering experiences of humans in the upper realms, as well as with other beings in the upper realms. The purpose of this reflection is to develop a strength of mind that leads us to want to abandon suffering. And whilst it's easy to say, I want to be free of suffering, what one is striving to achieve here is the mind of definite emergence. So there's a definiteness in one's purpose to emerge from samsara, to gain freedom. And this, the achievement of this, marks a change in our prioritization in our daily life, what we value in our daily life. Because we come to gain a strong desire to be freed of suffering, and therefore we apply ourselves wholeheartedly. And we do so immediately through reflecting on the impermanence of this life, that this life can end at any time, and one may be born in the lower realms because of imprints still on our continuum. So this serves to motivate us again, to add more strength to our mind. And as we've given rise to this wish to be freed of suffering, this determination to be freed of suffering, We then can turn our attention to others, recognizing that all others are the same as us. They, just like us, yearn for freedom from pain and misery, just want to experience happiness. Then we reflect further on this, that others are just like me. They also want to be freed of the causes that lead to suffering. And here we give rise to the wish, may they be freed of the causes that lead to suffering. May they experience no suffering. And this way we cultivate compassion. Moreover, may they cultivate only the causes for happiness and experience only happiness. In this way, we cultivate love for others.
Nyuba kyabar zin denpa de sangye ma do mi du, chisang sangye goba togo du sembe, ngay simjian tamche yudu sangye goba togo shuu sembe samdaya di, yang anzu jangshu semdu, chodu semkye ba siya di, semkye siya chagorwa.
Continue here cultivating ever stronger love and compassion for others to the point where we no longer feel it sufficient to have a sincere wish that others abide in lasting happiness freed from suffering. But we take it as our own responsibility to ensure others do achieve that state. We see it as our own individual responsibility that sentient beings are guided in how to accumulate the causes that lead to happiness and how to abandon the causes that would otherwise lead to suffering. We take that as our personal commitment. But recognizing that we are limited right now, that we don't have the skill to be able to interact with beings in accordance with their own unique personalities and karmic predispositions. We then commit to striving to become a Buddha, because it's only a Buddha who has an unimpeded wisdom and can thereby interact with beings precisely in accordance with their own unique karmic backgrounds and individual spiritual dispositions. And here, when commits to strive to become a Buddha, not for our sake, but so that we can lead beings to state freed of suffering. And this is when we generate bodhicitta, the mind of enlightenment. Generating bodhicitta like this, the next step then of the meditation is, now that we're committed to strive and achieve Buddhahood for the sake of others, one engages in the activities of a bodhisattva, because merely having an aspiration will not alone bring about the welfare of others, the achievement of the welfare of others. So here one engages in generosity, cultivating in meditation the sincere wish to be of benefit to others in any way that we can. We generate the wish again and again, in accordance with my capacity, may I ease the burden or suffering of others, may I bring them happiness. Then we meditate on the second practice, that of ethical restraint, where we restrain our mind from coming under the influence of the afflictions. This is ethics, restraining the mind from coming under the influence of the afflictions. And thereby we make the commitment not to harm others. Thirdly, we cultivate patience. And patience is required. We develop in meditation, but we require it both when we're engaging in Dharma practice and we encounter difficulties, as well as when we are actually engaging with others and we encounter difficulties. And the mind of patience is a mind that stays undisturbed in the face of adversity. And again, that adversity can come from our own inner turmoil or from outside of us. And here the practice of patience is keeping the mind undisturbed, the afflictions not arising or overwhelming us. Then fourthly, one cultivates joyous perseverance, which is a mind that delights or is joyful towards engaging in virtue. And one takes, reflects and generates great joy at one's virtuous activities, so as to give rise to an ever stronger wish to do so more and more, to persevere in the engagement with virtue, such as receiving teachings, engaging in meditation, doing circumambulation and so forth. So here, we're delighting in virtue, making our mind ever stronger, wanting to continue in our virtuous endeavors. The fifth and the sixth will be to develop the mind of concentration within us, as well as cultivating the wisdom that realizes emptiness, as we heard about earlier. To recap then on some of these points, when having reflected on suffering and given rise to the wish to be free thereof, one turns one's attention to others, generating love and compassion for others, developing it to the point where we commit to striving to become a Buddha so that we can be of true meaningful benefit to others. Then one engages in the various reflections of a bodhisattva, primarily reflecting on ethical restraint, committing and ensuring that one doesn't come under the influence of the afflictions, because that will lead to one bringing harm to others. But this reflection here in the context of the Mahayana, one is reflecting on ethics in order to become a Buddha, in order to create the causes to be of greatest benefit to others. Therefore, this meditation creates causes to become a Buddha. But moreover, as a side effect of that meditation, through cultivating ethical restraint, one also creates the causes that will ensure in our future rebirths, we'll take a rebirth as a human or God. Then secondly, the meditation on generosity. Here, we've cultivated bodhicitta, we're engaging in the meditation so that we can meditate on benefiting others, easing their suffering, giving them whatever we have, our skills, our qualities, to be of benefit to others. So this meditation also creates a causes for enlightenment because the motivation is one of bodhicitta. But moreover, as a side effect, one creates a causes that in our future lives, we'll have an abundance of favorable circumstances and material conditions that are required so that we can continue our spiritual development unimpeded and be of ever more benefit to others. Similarly with the meditation on patience, motivated by bodhicitta, meditating on patience therefore creates a causes for enlightenment as well as ensuring in our future lives that our sense powers are unimpeded and that we have close and harmonious and influential relationships with others. We can easily be of beneficial influence to others. So therefore, meditating on patience has these the benefits of not only creating the causes for enlightenment, but also a variety of other results. So too a joyous perseverance, motivated by bodhicitta, creates causes that will lead to enlightenment, as well as ensuring in our future lives we delight in virtue. We are born with a personality, with a nature that is inclined to virtue. We, as young people, we will be inclined to not harm others, to be of benefit to others, and that's because of creating the causes in our previous lives. In addition to those trainings then, of ethical restraint, generosity, patience, and joyous perseverance then, it's important to make prayers. In particular, the prayer that in all future lives, wherever my Lama takes birth, may I be there born too. May I meet him at a young age, recognize him for the qualities that he has, receive countless Mahayana teachings from him, and train wholeheartedly in his teachings. Mm-hmm.
Adine zadang juki lorik sa sa lorik san da lorik tilia ani chike ba ko su ne ani chi yikin ngwa che ko re da ine dang ju ge cha san chin yin che ra ba re den dang ju ge da sun na myang wo sa yo re chi san da sun na ge wa sa yo de ge wa de la ti dang ju ngwa che re chi san ma ju ge wa de la ti ne nyang ani ka so re chi da san ji den ba da jin ge la yun ne ba so da ani nga ju ge 电信也接过，那家伙人没吃到，嘴巴人没吃到，说吧，那这个电信接过，跟那学员呢，车上，那故事电报用完的，那我就是怎么来呀？没主要是讲他们这旅行哪吒的，什么就动啊，他们就新的，那旅行旅的什么提起用完的，那你给月什么钱了？讲这个什么提起，光年光头拍些，那年年也会用，特别少，是别个当然就很多新的，我们都是去读新的，学校教学呢，也要会儿吧的。
Now we come to the conclusion of looking at our time looking at Lorik. We started in August in 2019, and we had a few unexpected interruptions, but I hope some benefit has come. In particular, through understanding Buddhist psychology, coming to know ourselves better, know our own minds better, come to know ourselves more intimately, and thereby this can help us developing an attitude that's not overcome by distraction to mundane pleasures and problems, but through coming to know our mind better, develop a wide and expansive view and a far-sighted outlook. So with all this benefit that has been accrued over this time together, all this merit we now come to dedicate. So just in brief to mention, whilst we're dedicating, hold in our hearts His Holiness and Lama Zopan, our spiritual teachers, that they continue to abide stably in the world, and not just the spiritual teachers that we are connected to, but all the spiritual teachers in the world who are bringing so much benefit to suffering beings. May they abide stably in the world, and all their heartfelt wishes, may they be quickly fulfilled. And then, in brief, may all beings of any form, may they abide in happiness, freed of suffering, and all the love and compassion that exists within beings, those seeds that exist within beings, may these grow evermore.
Well,
and thank you very much.